everybody, and welcome to episode 408 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. This was supposed to be the podcast for Monday, November 6th, 2017, but my recording just did not work, making Monday into a really bad day. Also, I'm your host, Marcus Nez. So, I originally recorded this podcast yesterday, Monday, and when I went back to listen to it and edit it, it was a disaster. It was so fuzzy, full of so much white. It was just a absolute train wreck, unfixable. It was unsalvageable. There was no way of fixing it, and it turned Monday into a very, very bad day, because it was already a bad day because I went to the dentist to get my permanent crown put in, and they took off the temporary one and tried on the permanent one, and it wasn't right. Apparently, the mounting, I guess, was all screwed up, and so it was probably a full millimeter or so too high, and I could really feel it when I was a bit down. So they had to put on the temporary one again. And if you know me, and you know you do, and how much I dislike the dentist, the thing I hate the most, more so than the numbness that is attributed with getting drilled, is the living with a temporary crown and not being able to chew gum or anything that is somewhat sticky on one side of my mouth. And I get so paranoid that I just don't chew anything at all on that side of my mouth. And it is very disappointing that I have to live through another week with this temporary crown. Maybe sooner. They might get it quicker and they'll call me if they do. But I'm not going to keep my hopes up for that. Anyway, I'm actually here to talk about games, because that's what I do and crap. So I have two games to talk about. I'm going to say what I have to talk about, and then I will get to that, but I'm going to go on another tangent, because that's what I do. I'm going to be talking about Dungeons 3 and 8-Bit Adventure Anthology Volume 1. Both of these games are available on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4, and both of them I played on the Xbox One. So, speaking of Xbox One, today being the 7th is the Xbox One X launch. Mine is on its way, so if perchance the doorbell rings while I'm recording this, I will get up off my ass and I will run to that door and get my X. Not because I am so excited and I don't care about the podcast, but I have no idea what to expect with Amazon's personal delivery service and whether or not they will. Because they randomly choose whether they do this at times or not. It's not about the value of the shipment. They might not leave it at the door if I don't personally pick it up from them. So, just making sure that doesn't happen, I will be running to that door. Anywho, my X is on its way, and I'm excited to futz around with it, see how it works. I'm most interested in trying out, more than any other game, Ark. Since VSync is enforced now in all games, I am very curious to see if the X alleviates the horrendous problem that Ark has been filled with ever since it came out on the X. And I don't know if this is on the PC as well. Probably not, because you can probably enforce VSync and all that. But the screen tearing in Ark is some of the worst screen tearing I've seen in any game, and I've gone back to it as it's been updated and patched, and whatever they do, they might add content, and that's fine, but they can add as much content as they want. If the game still has horrible screen tearing, I can't play it. It'll just give me a headache, and it's not an enjoyable experience, so I am going to boot that up first and foremost and see how that's going. I also got Cuphead, so I'm going to be playing that shortly. And depending on when you listen to this, if you're listening to it on today, the 7th, we, and by we, I mean the rest of the Pixelated Sausage crew, specifically Rob and Corey, as well as some friends over at the O and D podcast, Big Steven and I don't know if his podcasting partner is partaking in this as well, but we are partaking in the Extra Life marathon gaming thing for charity. And we started today, 12 p.m. Central Time, and we'll be going through to, I don't know if we're doing 24 or 25 hours. I'm, of course, not doing all of those hours myself, and I can't speak for everyone else if they'll be able to survive it, but they will be doing their best. I will be jumping in probably here and there into party chat and joining them that way, and so I might be playing Cuphead and just being frustrated in the chat while they are playing their respective games. So that is all of that jazz. And I have nothing else to say, so I'm going to jump to the games I actually want to talk about. So, first and foremost, let me talk about Dungeons 3. So, Dungeons 3 is the third game in a franchise. Can you believe it? And it's a franchise by the name of Dungeons. So this is a series of games where you play a evil overlord who is managing dungeons. You set up traps and all this stuff so that when heroes come into your dungeon, you can dispose of them quickly and they will not be able to destroy your evil heart thing. I don't know if this has been the case in all of the Dungeons games, but that is part of Dungeons 3. On top of this, there is a surface, the regular world, that is full of light, and you will be sending your minions as well as your specific evil sort of overlord hybrid hero who has been turned evil, whatever, who is this dark elf lady. And you will be going to the surface to take over guard posts and other such objectives in order to turn the surface from light to dark. And while you're doing this, you are collecting gold in your dungeon area, and you are setting up barracks to make your various orcs and trolls and goblins and gnomies and succubis and zombies, etc., happy. You'll be setting up these various little like chicken hens to feed them, because who does not like chicken? You know who? No one. Everyone likes chicken. Even those vegans and vegetarians, they like the chicken too. They just don't want to admit it. I don't know what that voice was. Who cares? I'm kind of antsy because I want to play some Cuphead and get to this charity thing. And also, I'm just so scared that this recording is going to go haywire at some point. But you are mining through the dungeon area to find gold and to create space so that you can build these rooms, these barracks and workshops and feeding places, etc. And you might stumble across a spider den or other such areas when you were doing so. And it's a solid game. The problem, I think, there are a few problems I think the game has, specifically on Xbox One. One of them is, and I would say this goes for the PlayStation 4 as well, I don't think the game is that great on a controller. It's a bit clunky, and what makes it worse is the tutorials in the game are not great. I did not like them at all. I didn't find them to be particularly useful, and none of them stuck with me. It was like they just went in one ear and out the other, and I think the reason for that is because the game, and I guess the series, since the beginning, has featured this cheeky, snarky narrator who is self-referential, is self-aware, knows about the franchise and the fact that this is just a game, and will bring that up and talk about how this has been a problem or has existed in the previous games and he can't believe they're still doing it, blah, 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 blah. And in the tutorials, it gets very, very annoying and tedious as he is trying to make these jokes that I don't think land often when also delivering information on how the game works and how to do specific things. And for me, all I really want on a tutorial is something that is straightforward, quick, and just gives me the info and does it in a very easy to pick up way that will just stick with me so that I know how to play the game and I can get to the actual game and play it, because I want to play the actual game. I don't want to play the tutorial. I don't want to spend a lot of time in tutorials. But because he's so busy throwing out jokes in addition to the actual information, it goes on for a bit longer than I would have liked, and none of it stuck with me. This may not be the case for everyone, but I did not like the narrator's existence in the tutorials. But I also don't like him all that much in the actual game, because, like I said, I don't think he's all that funny. I don't think a lot of his jokes land. I don't like all that self-referential humor that he is trying to do. It just didn't really work for me. But once I just got a handle of how the game worked and all the mechanics and systems, I did start to like it. My one concern is, because I've played it for a handful of hours, I've finished 3 or 4 missions, I'm worried that it's just going to be very repetitive and get old fast. Because so far, I've been able to implement the same strategy without missing a beat. Works every time. Works very, very well, too. It's not like I'm being challenged doing this. It is a breeze. I'm not going to mention it because, you know, maybe you'll find some different strategy and maybe it'll be more fun if you don't know that it is potentially possible to just do something very simple and get through the game. But I am just worried that maybe it'll get old real fast and then I won't be all that interested in sticking with it. But hopefully that will change, because there are 20 campaign missions in it. And on top of that, you can do a basic skirmish mode. And there's also online co-op and versus. Just one-on-one, I believe. So that's nice that those are all in there. And I guess this is a first for the series, but the dungeons and all that are procedurally generated, so they're always different when you're playing the story and all that jazz. So that is a nice kind of bullet point, but I don't think the dungeons are all that elaborate or have that much things in them to make the procedurally generated aspect of it all that exciting or special, because really you're just going to find gold in different places and a spider den in a different place, and I don't know, there was like maybe one other thing that popped up so far in my experience, but that could change as well. So far I'm enjoying it after getting a handle on how everything works. I still think it would work better on a PC with a mouse and keyboard, but I am a bit worried that it might just be that I've seen everything the game has to offer and that it's just going to be more of the same. And if that is the case, I'll be a bit disappointed. I will probably talk more about it as I play more of it. But so far, I'm on the fence. I'm waving my hand literally, and I am saying that that's how I feel figuratively. Moving on, 8-Bit Adventure Anthology. Volume 1, and also Dungeon 3, $39.99. So, not a full-priced game, but not a cheaper game. Right in that middle ground, which is a weird place for all games, it seems, these days. Anyway, shut up. This thing is loading. It's going to be making noise. I hate the 8-Bit Adventures website. Come on, there you go. Shut up, you stupid site. Anyway, the 8-Bit Adventure Anthology Volume 1 is a collection of 3 classic point-and-click adventures, which all came out on the NES. And it's a really nice package, and it's a very good price. It's, I believe, $8, so it's less than $3 per game. It's $2.66 per game, essentially. And the games included are Deja Vu, The Uninvited, and Shadowgate. One of them is a fantasy-esque game. One of them is kind of film noir, detective type of thing, where you are suffering from amnesia. And then there's another one where it's more Gone Homey. I don't know. It's like you're just a normal person and your sister's missing and you're like, what's going on? I'm in this big house. I don't know what's happening. And the thing about it, I'm gonna say some really awful stuff. Not awful stuff about the game, just awful things to say in any type of review, preview, anything. If you're a fan of the genre, if you're a fan of point-and-click adventures, I think you're gonna like 8-Bit Adventure Anthology Volume 1. If you're a fan of these classic point-and-click adventure games and you want to play them again, this is a great package for you. If you kind of like the genre and you want to see some older games, you know, maybe it's the back. The thing about these games is that they are old and they can be a bit hard to just figure out. You might be stuck in a place and not be really sure what you have to do. But at the same time, there's a lot of joy to be had in experimentation and messing around with the various objects that you have in your inventory or that are in an environment. But I think for some people, they could be just a bit too out there. And also, I think the biggest problem that some people might have is that navigating the menus and all that is not... It hasn't been upgraded or anything. It's still a clunky experience. And I can't speak to how accurate the emulations are, how close these ports, these games are to the original versions. But they all run well. They look good for what they are. And they're fun for what they are. They are enjoyable. And there's humor to be had in the way you can, in the various demises you can bring upon yourself in these various games. But I just think that if you're not someone who is a huge fan of point-and-click adventures, it's not really for you, but then you probably wouldn't have been interested in it as well. For anyone who is into these types of games, it's a great package. It's priced well at $8. And you get these three solid games that are fun to mess around with. I really like messing around in Deja Vu, where you play this fella who wakes up in his bathroom. You don't know who you are or how you got there or anything. But you just walk around it, and one of the first things you do is there's an overcoat. You can take the items out of the overcoat and then pick up the overcoat. And then there's a gun and a holster there. You take that, and then you can just shoot a bunch of things for no real reason, because why not? And also, you can shoot yourself and you can end the game really quickly by doing that. I did that and I killed myself, and I was super happy with that. The only thing that was disappointing about killing myself in Deja Vu was the fact that I didn't get an achievement for it. I really wanted to get an achievement for killing myself. My life goal has always been to get an achievement for killing myself, and Deja Vu did not deliver. But I think it's a really solid package, and it's worth the price. If this package seems at all interesting to you, I think it's a no-brainer, because $8 is such a ridiculous price to get these three games in a really well put together package. I just kind of wish they maybe put a little bit of work into navigating the menu and made it a little bit more user-friendly, specifically movement, because there are times where you are in an environment and you walk through a door, and then if you want to go back through the door that you walked through that's behind you, you have to click on the move button in the menu below and then click on the little spot, the little button toggle for that spot in the room. And I just kind of wish even just this very simple thing would have been great. If they removed the move button and just whenever you clicked in the map area on a spot, you just went through there and you didn't have to take that extra step of actually toggling the move button so that whenever you press something, that's the action you are doing. But other than that, I think it's a well put together package. I just wish there was a bit easier to actually play the game. But yeah, that is 8-Bit Adventure Anthology Volume 1, available on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 for $8. And that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it, are having a wonderful week so far. Hopefully you can jump in and watch one of the streams that we are throwing out there today and chip in a few bucks for charity, for Extra Life and all that jazz. Because who doesn't like to be giving? Who doesn't like to give? Some people, I know. But, yeah. Once again, I'm your host, Marcus Nez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, and Steam, and all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am The Kush 3. The Kush 3? The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, for a few more weeks, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. And in addition to all those podcasts, you can find the art I do, and you can see it all over at pxsart.com, as well as links where you can purchase prints for the pieces you like. Also on pixelatedsausage.com, right on the right side, you can see a big fat box that will take you to our Extra Life page, so you can donate very easily and quickly. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, please go over to patreon.com/pxs and become a patron of Pixelated Sausage. Because if nothing else, you'll be able to tell everyone, I'm a patron of Pixelated Sausage. That's right. I said Pixelated Sausage. Okay. Bye.